What do you think about that as an opening? So we thought, let's wake people up a bit. Welcome in Antwerp at the Windows App Day. It's the first time we do like a Windows App Day. Not the first time we do an event, of course, but the first time we do a Windows App Day because we felt the need to show and to teach a number of people all the different angles of the Microsoft platform and how you can build all the different pieces on that Microsoft platform. It's going to be hopefully an exciting day for all of you, so that's why we started with some exciting music. And it's hopefully going to be an exciting introduction. The first piece of this morning is roughly going to be an hour and a half. It's going to be hosted by Catherine, who, that's not me. So it's going to be hosted by Catherine and myself. And we're going to run you through that in that hour and a half with a number of guests on stage, to quite some of the showcases of things we have been seeing in the market and appearing in the market over the last couple of months. We choose to do the introduction in sort of a little bit different setup than the normal static PowerPoint, so that's why we started with some energy. And the people dancing were not us, just to make sure you know that. So who's us and who's Catherine and myself? We work for Microsoft, both Microsoft Belgium. We work for a team which is called the Developer and Platform Group, which is the team that's putting those technologies the vibes around apps, Windows 8, the cloud into the market and helping customers and partners as yourself being successful with that. And the 100, that's the score on social media that Catherine and myself have together added. Catherine is like 10 points higher than myself, so you can try to find us on Twitter for Catherine. That's going to be a lot easier than for myself. But her points are like 10 higher than myself. Please follow us on Twitter, look at the website. If you want and need information afterwards, feel free at just contacting us. It's going to be very easy to find us on the internet. Just mail us or give us a call or whatever, or get in touch via Twitter after the sessions if you want to get more information, because that's what we want, like the interaction with you as an audience. Today, that's a little bit more difficult because we're going to be with more than 200 today, but of course afterwards, so feel free to get in touch and to connect to us. So first of all, like a little bit of an overview of who we are, where we're coming from, what the different audiences are. This is an easy one. There's 7 billion people, 7 billion people world population. And I checked last night, there's like a great counter that shows you like every minute how many new birds there are and how fast this is growing. And it's pretty fast growing. Large population. If you look at that large population, and you see how many people there are working in IT and IT related roles. And I mean with that, people building web, people working in interactive agencies, people actually doing stuff with technology, ending up in applications and IT, that's worldwide 21 million people that we call like IT professionals that fall under that brand. For Belgium, it's a little bit less. For Belgium, that's roughly 150,000 people, but still a large number. So roughly 150,000 people in our large industry that earn their bread and butter by building applications, building websites, maintaining them, but also doing the entire IT infrastructure behind it. If you look at those 150,000, on a worldwide level, there are 9 million people that are actually building things like applications, apps, websites, and all that stuff. In Belgium, the Belgian numbers, it's roughly is 35,000 people doing that. So still a pretty large number. Of course, when we look at who the people are that are working with those latest technologies, people working with the newer stuff, you'll see that half of those 35,000, roughly 17,000-18,000, are mainly working on older technologies. The nice word for that is legacy. So working on older technologies. Someone predicted a long time ago that the mainframe was dead. That person was wrong. The mainframe is still there, and you see that quite a lot of people are still working on those older technologies. You look at the new technologies, you see that there's quite a large crowd working on that, and that's growing. And that also the professions are changing there, and that what those people are doing, that the professions they're having, is changing. Something like the beast of a web developer or an interactive designer is a completely different job than from someone who keeps his local cloud in the air, who does the IT infrastructure behind a massive web environment. So you see that over time, the different roles inside this profession of people, like keeping applications in the air, has started changing and is still changing. We believe that with like mobility, the changes in form factors and all that, that also those professions will further change and will further evolve over the next couple of years. So, super geek, there are some in the room, but of course we know that next to the super IT geeks, there's quite a lot of other people in the room too. I know that some of the speakers are going to do polls and asking who are you and showing hands, so I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to take that thunder from them. The change in our industry, and if you see how the IT and the interaction with computer has changed over the last 30 years, that's really amazing. I'm old enough, I'm gray, a bit bald. I had the luck to work the last couple of years of the paper card with the holes in there. That I was still in school, but then after that, you've seen a very fast evolution of going from massive computers to actually what you see all the different form factors you have today. But this form factor is still very, very, very new. The older people, like 25-ish, 30 in the room, the older people probably recognize or remember their first big phone. Big phone. This was 10 years ago. And now you have a mini personal computer in your pocket, which you can also use as a phone. You see that the form factors, all those different form factors that exist, still expand, large ones, smaller ones, more complex, less complex, and that also opens a world of possibilities for applications and apps of what you can do in that. Now if you look at two of the form factors, the big one and the smaller one, most of the time we think about that form factor as the one where we run apps. And we think about this form factor as the one where you run applications. Of course, if you look at that taxonomy and the meanings of the word, app is of course short for application. And in most of the, for the geeks and for the people really building it, there is not that much different. It is an application that runs on a certain form factor and renders for certain model better or not that good. There is, on the other side, also a difference in the way we work with these form factors. This form factor, the bigger one, is very well suited to do that larger interactive work. We're showing you Blend, or you're doing some photo stitching, or you're doing some artwork or some user experience stuff. You probably want to do that on this form factor. It's going to be a lot more difficult to edit a video in detail on this one. And that's probably not where you want to go. So, difference in form factor, and also a difference in which type of applications run that. And so we feel that most of the time, we have started thinking about an application that has a large interaction factor. It's not really necessarily productivity work, but works with social, with people, giving me some productivity, personal one. We start thinking about it as an app, and the ones that you really use for work, the large ones that run the company, as an application. Underneath, we see that they live the exact same technologies. That is more the form factor, the interaction, how people work with it, that makes that something is being called an app, that something is being called an application. Then, going one step further, what you see is that when you have these applications and apps on all these different form factors, we start to see that people just don't stick to just one. I have this beautiful wide Nokia that almost nobody has. I have this beautiful wide Nokia, Windows Phone of course. This is one form factor I have in my pocket. My second machine, which is my production machine, is this one. Is a tablet. No, I can't answer your phone right now. I'm presenting. Thank you. So it was an actual call. So what you see is that people have these different form factors. I have that PC, which is actually a tablet. I have a real PC for certain older stuff I still want to do. And I have all these three different form factors. What I still want to do is keeping these form factors in sync. When I take a picture on one, I want that picture to be available on these other form factors. And I want to share that picture over my other machines. And maybe I want to keep a copy on my machine at home, which is an older one, where I keep all my pictures and take a backup of that. So we see that in the old days, information was very closely linked to where you were using it. And you see that now information has become very fluid and borderless and goes from one machine to the other. And so you have that with pictures, but you also have that with music, you have that with other stuff. And you see the thing at the top is the cloud. What we start to call the cloud becomes to play a much more important role than connectivity at the back end ever had before. In the old days, you had your own PCs, you had your server part, you were connected to that various ways. What you see today is that it becomes so difficult to build that connectivity thing at the back end yourself, that using an existing cloud, something which exists for you to exchange data, to keep data, to connect people, to keep stuff and to distribute stuff, has become one of the rules of how you build applications, and if they have a data need, how you exchange information between them. And that's how these different form factors connect equally to the cloud. Also for distributing information, in this case music, distributing your own music to different devices, or buying music, or using music, and having it distributed over the different devices is something which will come from the cloud. The choice Microsoft has made is, when you look at these different devices, how they interact, is to evolve from different form factors, very often with different operating systems, to one very similar looking environment across all these devices. And you notice, of course, that that's sort of a Windows look and feel without the numbers stitched to it. But that's the vision we have, that across all these devices that we want to support, we want to have that same look and feel from a look and feel UX perspective, but also from an application perspective of how we build that. We started moving there roughly 3-4 years ago. And we started with web, and then we've seen the evolution towards phone and phone apps and applications. And I must say, we're pretty proud of what happened over the last 18 months, moving now to Windows 8, but also Windows Phone, and seeing how quite some of the tier one and very, very widespread of the market you see a lot of people interested in building applications for those new platforms. These are just an examples. I picked examples mostly of people and companies not presenting later today. So you'll see a lot more later today in sessions. But these are just a couple of examples. And if you think back at those slides where you have different form factors, devices connected to cloud, and you think about some of these, like VRT, M&M radio, is one of those that works like that, which is connected on a device and where you can play that on a device and on others. Thomas Cook is a really commercial one, where you can go and search for a travel and search where, after all that UXing and coding, where you want to go next and relax. A great one is Smart School. Smart School is a school platform being used, if I'm not mistaken, by 260,000 students in these regions, and connects you. A quick hamburger restaurant, and of course I'm not going to comment, it's not my comment at the top, from rtl.be. At the moment I took the screenshot. That's what their comment was on the Europo, so not mine, not a political statement, but was there when I took the screenshot. Next to Suskewiske, it can be no coincidence. So when you look at these applications, and you saw them here, examples from Windows 8, most of these examples also exist for other form factors, exist for phone, you see them in other types of forms. They use the base application platform that Microsoft is offering in its different components. And for us, a very, very important component is and has become, of course, Windows 8. Windows 8 is not only the successor of or successful Windows range of operating systems, but is an operating system where we do a big step and do a big addition, to the OS. And next to making it an OS, which used to be an OS used by consumers and a lot by businesses, where it becomes an operating system, which is also suited for the modern world of tablets, of mobile phones, of mobile devices, and where it's an OS, which is cloud connected. So for us, the building block Windows is an important one. Windows on different type of clients, both Intel-based PC-like, personal computing-like form factors, but also all the others. And of course, another one is Windows Phone. Later today in this session, you'll see us presenting the latest version of that. We're also moving there ahead, and we moved ahead to Windows Phone 8 operating system, which as a kernel has the same Windows baked in than you'll find in the Windows 8 tablet and Windows 8 desktop versions. So it has the same Windows built in at its core, but of course giving you the advantage that a lot of the applications you have, or at least the business logic, can be very, very easily be reused on that on those other form factors. Next component, which really makes up the platform for us, is that cloud piece. And the cloud piece, which we offer for attaching your applications to and exchanging information with the applications, is something called Windows Azure. Azure, Azzurro in Italian. And it's not the not their football team. When you look at Azure, actually, what we offer with Windows Azure is a cloud operating system. So that means that we offer an operating system which has all the capabilities of an operating system. That means it has storage, it has processing power, but it can play the role of an application server. It keeps your data, but also serves you with services. So easily consumable services that take your data and distribute them, or can distribute them, over those different connected devices. And that's for us another big, big, big important component in the overall platform offering. And then the great thing is to build applications on all those different form factors. We've chosen to have one unified environment to do that with. When Microsoft started as a company 30 plus some years ago, what the first two products of Microsoft were an operating system and a development language, BASIC. So BASIC was the very first product that Microsoft commercialized. So in that same trend, developer environments and development tools, and then also later on UX tools for designer interactive designers, is our core business, and has been our core business for the last 30 years. So we think that this is one of the very, very strong components of our platform, where we have one environment, one unified environment, which allows you, with the same skills, with the same components, with the same people, to build apps and applications which you can reuse across all form factors, whether on the client, whether on the cloud, whether they're hosted, whether they're running on your local machine, whatever. And in addition, it offers you the UX environment where you can easily import and reuse what designers have built as application components for the user experience and integrate them seamlessly next to the business logic. So we have a very, very strong offering there. Deliberately, of the developer tools offering, we have the paying professional tools. Mostly those are the ones that are being used by professional companies. And we started offering these tools a couple of years back for free to students and to startups. And in addition, you see that there is, when you want to start building as a non-pro yet, for phone and for Windows 8, that you just download the Express versions, which are the free tools, where you can start building with it. And most of the time, for an individual developer, that's going to be enough to start with. So a very, very strong component of the platform, and one we pay a lot of attention to, because we know building apps, doing that very rapidly, debug them, and get that app out in a short time frame, and being able to maintain it is extremely important to who's building them. And then two fun components. You see that next to the application platform, we started adding other things. We started adding other things that make it very, very interesting for people to play with and to use. To play with and to work with. Kinect is such an example. Kinect is the camera on top and the software that comes with it. When we first started with that, with Kinect, the camera, and the software with it, and we calculated what it was going to cost to bring that to market to enterprises, we found out that the device would got a price tag of a couple of thousand euro per device. So for Kinect, that's one of the directions where we chose to bring Kinect first to the gaming environment, to Xbox. And because we did that, and because the way we did it, we were able to offer that in a Play Shop for 150 euro. You have like a high top-notch device. Nowadays, you have the Pro version, which is called Kinect for Windows, which you can just connect to a Windows environment and develop with the same Visual Studio, the same app environment, the same cloud, applications that take touch, but touch without touching the screen, really by gesture. And then the next component is when you've been doing all that and you want to build as a device, not only for phone, but for tablet, and you want to build for a game console, and you want to bring that game to a gaming environment, we have the Xbox environment, and also there, it's the same building blocks and the same components, the same development environment, the same UX environment that allows you to build seamlessly and immediately for an Xbox environment. And so they're all integrated across the different form factors and across the different user experiences. As the next step, I'd like to introduce Catherine on stage to guide you to the rest of the session.